Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
Put our hands together and celebrate the Lord, because we believe that He is a keeper. We honor Him. As our heads are bowed, God, we thank You and we celebrate You for the victory that You've given. And God, we thank You now that there is no lack, that every need is met, and that the victory belongs to us. And God, not only do You deliver the victory, but God, You keep us victorious in every area, every facet of our life. Cause us to walk in fulfillment of Your promise. And God, we believe that that now that it's ours, and we won't allow the enemy to come in and do what he is designed to do, and that's to steal, kill, and to destroy. But God, we believe Your word, that You've come that we might have a life and have it to the full. God, we thank You now that it is so in our life, and we believe it's done. We celebrate You for it right now in Jesus' name. And every believer say, thank God. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and magnify the Lord. We celebrate Him today for His goodness. What an awesome God we serve. Everybody excited today about the goodness of the Lord? Amen. We thank Him for how faithful He is toward us. What an awesome time to be in the kingdom of God. I do want to encourage the saints as we start today, just this, that this is a season. I've been saying this to the saints, and I want to reiterate this. And I want you just to pause for just a moment and to just let this sink in your heart. It's going to be very brief, but it's simply this word, that this is a season for us to not lose focus on what God has promised us. Amen. You know, the storms in our lives, always, they're always present, and we're always in the midst of warfare. But the thing God doesn't want us to do is to lose heart or to lose focus. And I thank God for the testimony that Mother shared when she wasn't afraid nor fearful about going back. Amen. The very thing that she had already been given a response to, she, by the power of God, went back to the same source, believing that there is nothing too hard for God. Ask your neighbor, do you have the boldness to go back and ask again? Amen. You don't have to live in defeat. And don't believe that God has exhausted His means to bring you out of whatever it is you're in. Listen, if you haven't seen it happen yet, I challenge you by the power of God to stand in a boldness to go back and ask again. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. My God. We believe God. We trust God. I want to tell you something about going back, that God always show Himself strong. Amen. Listen, in the Word of God, I hope you heard that we want to not lose focus. Amen. We don't want to allow the victory that God has destined for us to pass us by because we are focused on other things in our life and not on what we know God has set our hearts in our lives too. He has connected us with our destiny. And our destiny is victorious. It's victory. Yes. Amen. And we're not stopping until we see it come to manifestation. And so what He don't want us to do though is listen, don't just stop. The visual has to be this, that you are riding along on some means of transportation with a group of other individuals, and the wagon or the cart or the car slows down, and I said it slows down. All right, it didn't stop. But you just hop off and start picking flowers and doing something else. And when you look up, the thing is so far gone, you don't have the strength, the speed, the stamina, the ability to catch up to what you've just missed. Tell your neighbor, don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. Amen. You got to stay on board with God. Don't let the things that distract you pull you away from what you know God has spoken, what he's commissioned. If God said you healed, I feel a righteous indignation in my spirit right now. Tell your neighbor, I don't care how long it's been. And I don't know what you've been waiting on this long time, but I declare, if you would just trust God, just believe God, amen, just know that if God said it, it's got to come to pass. It's got to happen. And we believe God to do it. Amen? Amen. We celebrate the victory that God has given to us in the Word of God in 2 Chronicles. So, listen, that means that we ought to do something. All right, you in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? Let's read the first four verses. We got to get back on our schedule. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's read those first four verses in 2 Chronicles 20 together. It says, it came to pass after this also, and the children of Ammon, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea. Behold, they that be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. Then Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of the city of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As you are, can somebody just shout, praise,
praise
is my weapon. Amen. We believe that. Listen, in the text here, we honor the Lord for Elder Martin, our worship leader. Amen. Thank God for this mighty man of God. And to Pastor Alfred, we thank God for him. Amen. We celebrate the Lord today. Thank God for each of you. To our guests today, we honor the Lord for you as well. I'm not going to start preaching. I want to just share with you some of the specifics concerning this text, and then we'll move forward. This is an illustration of this nation, Israel, as they face a tremendous storm, a tremendous battle in their life. It is when rival nations or when neighboring nations, literally what happens is they hear that Jehoshaphat is not in the place that he had historically been in serving God. So they believe that now there is some chink in his armor. So they devise a plan to come and overthrow him. They want what Jehoshaphat has. They want land that's been given to him in Israel by God. But they assert that because he's not serving God the way that he should. And you know the history of Jehoshaphat. He is in fact the descendant of David. His father's name was Asa. He is four generations removed from King David and after the rule of Solomon. But he stands here with this challenge looming large over the nation, but he doesn't shrink in fear. He stands on the thing that he knows that God has commissioned his heart, and that is he set him as the ruler over the people of God. And he's not going to let what other people are saying and doing cause him to move away from where he know God has planted him. Would you encourage your neighbor, no matter what folk are saying, no matter what attack the enemy is devising against you, Don't ever move away from what you know God has for you. Amen. That means if God has healing for you, don't let the report cause you to just abdicate your health in favor of the negative report. You don't ever want to allow the enemy to convince you that you are no longer qualified for what God has purposed, what God has promised your life. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Amen. You can be on the outs for so long that you start believing what the enemy says yourself. Amen. You can be broke for so long, you just believe it's just my lot to be broke. Amen. You start looking at your family tree, and you know that there's not anyone in your bloodline that's ever had anything, so you destined to be broke as well. Can somebody just shout, the devil is a liar? Amen. Because, listen, when God has given you a word, you know, we just declare that we're going to receive what God has for us. Amen. Now, let me just give you the outline and then we'll stop. I know that Deaconess Banks has got a challenge on. I owe her some money after service. But you got to watch how you do the clock. Now, I've been up since 22 minutes after. All right. Since 22 minutes after. So if I talk to 20 to about 57, I'll have my quota met for today. All right. But know that what the word of God says about Jehoshaphat is this. He's in a situation where other people are looking at his relationship with God and disqualifying him. And so now they're devising a plan to come and take what God has given to him. Amen. And not only that. But they are also working in conjunction with other people that are essentially close to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, as you know, now he is in a place. People that trust him are descendants of the nation that he is ruling over. Moab and the Ammonites are both descendants of Lot. And you know that Lot, you know the story of Lot and Abraham, who is Abraham, the father of the faithful, who is the folk that we're talking about in this text. Now, these are all individuals that walked together at some point, and now here are Lot's descendants coming to take over something that belongs to the people of God to begin with. And they are plotting a course to do something that is diabolical against their brothers and sisters. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. So the deal is, it doesn't matter where the storm come from, it doesn't make the storm any less challenging for us, and that we still need to pursue God in spite of the origin of the storm. Amen? Amen. And so what he does is show us, if you read this template through this this text, this chapter 20, verse 19, he gets... there's a word to Jehoshaphat concerning his relationship and concerning the reign that he has over the people of God, and regarding the future or the destiny that he must embrace as it relates to what God desires to do for Jehoshaphat in behalf of the children of Israel as he moves forward. All right. So he finds himself in a tremendous predicament right now, and he could be simply distraught, because these are not just any nations coming against him. These are people that he walked with in his history that served the same God that he served, but now has just simply, because of a report that he's not where he should be, they've made a decision, I'm going to take over. Amen. You know, I spent some time in the early service talking about people in church that talk about there's no hurt like church hurt. I don't know much about all that stuff. All right. Hurt is just hurt. If you say church hurt is bad hurt, then I don't challenge that. That's just one of the storms you deal with. Does that make sense? Amen. Amen. Whatever hurts you, hurts you. And it's not my job to say you're not hurt. I'm just not there. But if you tell me that being hurt in the church is a bad thing and it's unlike any other hurt, then so be it. I would submit that if you're hurt, you just hurt. Amen? And that this is like church hurt is what Jehoshaphat's going through. Not only are there people that, listen, that he, that in his descendancy, they walk with, but the people that he is now in, you know, in relationship with in the kingdoms, they are allowing these people to come through their lands to get to Jehoshaphat. Amen?
Amen.
And so these are all the people of God that are battling in an attempt, listen, to get something and to take possession of something that doesn't belong to them, nor has God promised it to them. He has only promised it to Jehoshaphat. Will you tell your neighbor, no matter what the enemy wants from your life, tell him if God has a promise on your life, the devil can't have it. You better believe it. Listen, this is where I stop. At the end, this is the outline. We'll finish this if the Lord says the same the next time we come together. We'll be here Wednesday night, Sunday. So, but this is what he does. He turns and then 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about something that the Lord really wants the saints to embrace. And it's this, that we don't fight natural battles with natural weapons.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen?
I mean, the only weapons we have as saints of God are spiritual weapons.
Amen.
And so praise is a spiritual weapon for us. Although it's something that's executed and manifested in your flesh, it is a spiritual weapon. All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, it talks about that. It said, we live in the flesh. That's why, New Bethel, you've heard me say so often, I think I've already said once today, that we can't have, and I know that I did say this, that you can't walk forward in victory as a child of God with that bad girl, bad boy attitude. Amen? You have to really learn to check that at the door. And if, in fact, you're still plagued by that, then, you know, you can come to the altar. We'll pray with you. Pray for you. Amen. Don't be the person. Don't let anything stand between you and God. Some people will tell you very clearly. And if you look at this text, you'll see that Jehoshaphat brought the children into fasting and praying as well. And, you know, often we protect our children. He had children fasting. We'll say, no, children don't understand all this. No, we don't want children. See, you know, I don't, anyway, in the house where I live, whenever, when I fast, everything fasts. Let everything that have breath. If I had a pet, the pet would fast. You know, be careful not to go out by where the dog is, because he might get mad. You're a little tight with the food now. I don't know. I might have to bite you, get my own. No. But everything has to fast, all right? But you study that, you'll see that he brought the children into fasting and praying as well. And the reason why is because this is really, everything that we're battling, saints of God, is spiritual. It may be a natural storm, but the only way you're going to be able to combat it is through spiritual means. So the Bible said, he said, listen, he didn't get nervous because he heard church folk rising up against him, and he didn't quit either. He went to God. He said, I'm going to battle this natural attack with a spiritual weapon. So what did he do? He set himself to serve God, is what the Bible says. He set himself to serve God. Amen. And what would happen if, when we are facing a storm, if we turn to God versus turning away from God?
Amen.
Now, what often happens in the church is this. You know, when people are going through things, when they're facing battles, is when they become invisible. Amen. When people disappear and you call them and they'll tell you, I'm going through. I'm sorry, your testimony don't match your action. Remember, if you believe, then I would see something different than what you're showing me right now.
That's right.
Ask your neighbor, are you getting this? Are you getting this?
Yes.
I mean, to really say that, listen, when you're in a storm, it's time to press into God.
Yes.
The Bible said, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. In verse 3, and he proclaimed the fast, is what the Bible says. I gotta stop. He set himself to seek the Lord, to serve God. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't run from God, but watch this. The Bible said he feared.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Listen, that the things that folk were talking about, he said, y'all can say whatever you want to say. He said, but I know when I do a self-inspection, when I look at myself, Jehoshaphat said, there are some things about my life I need to give to God.
Yes,
Look at your neighbor. Don't ask him anything. Just look at him real hard. I want you to look at him with an eye of inspection. Now, see, you got to know that if Jehoshaphat is saying, listen, I know folk are talking about me, but I also know that even not connected to the stuff they're saying, there's something that I need to give to God. Then listen, he said, so because of that, I'm going to set myself to turn back to God and offer everything. Listen, everything that I have, everything that I am, I want to rededicate to God because there's a storm going on in my life and I don't want there to be any doubt in God's heart, God's mind, nor in mine that God, I'm completely sold out to you. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I don't care what the devil says. Tell him, I'm giving this thing to God. I'm giving it to God. And he didn't say, listen, he didn't leave, listen, on a quest to garner physical support for the oncoming storm, for the rival nations. He said, what I'm going to do is get back to God. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, I got a storm going on in my life. And tell him and tell that neighbor, what I'm going to do right now, I'm getting back to God. I'm getting back to God. He said, I'm going to set myself to praise God. I'm going to set myself, listen, to seek God. I want God to be, listen, the recipient of this fear. This fear is not going to cause me to shrink back from God, but this fear is going to cause me to run toward God. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting back to God today. I'm getting back to God. That's what fear should do. There's a reverence that raises up in our hearts that should cause us to go back to the place that we know, listen, is the origin of our victory. Amen? Yeah. It's what the Word of God has declared over us. And what God shows us, what he shows us in that text is this. Now he says, if you read through the course of this passage, you will find that, listen, while they were praying and seeking God, the Bible says, at least history records, that there was a sort of an itinerant Levite that was in their midst. That when you read around verse 14, 15, you see a word rising up out of the midst of their seeking God. Amen. A word that gives them release, huh? And relief from the fear that drove them to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And so this is what you take away from this. That I challenge you that whenever you set your heart to seek God, you can rest assured that God will always give you an answer. Amen. You will always hear from God. Amen. God will give you a response. Sometimes, listen, even if you are not sensing what God is saying, amen, the word said, listen, it said, and he said, listen, you all, listen, you inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, don't be afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. They said, listen, there's some folk coming up against you. Tell your neighbor, there's a serious storm coming in your life. He said, but I have a word from God. This Levite stood up in their midst after they committed themselves to prayer. Here is God showing up in an answer in the midst of the congregation. Jehoshaphat said, before I dismiss the church, before I dismiss the service, there is a word that God has for us. Tell your neighbor, before we leave here today, there's a word that God has for us. Glory to God. Listen, and this is your word, for the battle is not yours. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to God. Listen, you better know that what God said, and the thing I like about what God does, he doesn't always consult the person sitting at the front of the church, listen, to give a word. He just raised up somebody that knew the Spirit of God. Tell your neighbor, I believe I'm that one. I believe I'm that one. Ask your neighbor, did God speak to you? Did God say something to you? Did God give you revelation? Did God give you an understanding of what God said, I'm going do in your life? The Bible said he doesn't just talk to the preacher, but he'll raise up somebody that God will speak into your life.
Touch your neighbor and tell him, I have a word from God. My God, you better know that God, if you pursue him, the Bible said when the righteous cry, the Lord, listen, will answer the cries of his people. The Bible said in Psalm number 56, he said, they declared, when I cried unto the Lord, the Bible said, then shall my enemies turn back. For this I know, God is for me. Tell your neighbor, if you want to see your enemies run, I dare you, call on God. You talking about getting billing them and bobbing them and soothing them to come at them, I dare you, call on the Lord. Tell your neighbor, this is not a physical fight, this is a spiritual battle that I'm in. I'm ready to call on the name of the Lord. Touch your neighbor and tell him the Lord said this battle belongs to him. Can somebody give God some glory in? My God. My God, if God can get excited about his own word, ask your neighbor, can you get excited about the word that's about to be released from your mouth? I dare you, touch your neighbor and tell him, I've got the victory now. Tell him, I believe God. I'm walking in fulfillment of what God has spoken over my life. Touch your neighbor and tell him, be healed right now. Tell him, be delivered right now. Tell him, stand in the victory right now. Tell him, I believe God is moving you to a place of victory in your life. Listen, if we believe God, if we trust him, our time is for us. And listen, our heads are bowed. And so they praise God. Bow your heads, bow your heads. They praise God before the storm. And then, listen, when you continue reading that text, listen to this. When you continue reading that text, not only did they praise God before the storm, but listen, it said on tomorrow they got up to go and face the enemy in the valley of Baraka. And the Bible said that on their way, that the king, Jehoshaphat, commanded the choir. He said, I want y'all to act like you lost your mind. He said, I want you. And he gave them a song that he wanted them to sing. Talking about the mercies of the Lord that endureth forever. He said, y'all told me I was done, but I'm going to tell you the mercies of the Lord. I dare you, don't open your eyes. Just put your hand on your neighbor's face. And I want you to open your mouth and just say, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. My God. Listen, so they didn't wait until they got to their enemies. They praised God on their way to their enemy. Oh, God, I feel praise coming up in this place. I feel the presence and the power of God operating in this place. They went singing in the... Glory to God. Hallelujah. My God. And y'all know the end of the story. Not only did they, listen, they went in the battle praising God, but after they defeated them, they praised God again. So he encouraged us. Let me stop. He said that it's proper to praise God before the storm. He said it's proper to praise God in the storm. And you sure know it's proper to praise God after the storm is over. Don't bother your neighbor too much. Just touch their hand and just shout with a loud shout. Say, I praise him right now. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 God. Listen, our heads are bowed. We've got to go. Saints of God, I tell you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7,
7.
The word of God declares, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all in your getting, get understanding.
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.